Well, thank you to the singers for Carolyn and Carol and Charlotte and Chris and June, and also to Daniel and Sally in the back to kind of make all of the technology thing work. It's good that we have that those amenities here when we come and gather together on this Lord's Day. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19, we read that we are to speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. This little verse reminds us that we as Christians, when we talk to one another, that our conversation should include a carol or two. No pun intended, carol, you know, but it's... When we talk to one another as believers, that songs ought to be a part of our conversation. In fact, there's a parallel verse to the one in Ephesians. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it adds an additional phrase at the front, and it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." Dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. Now here he adds, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know that the word of Christ is a major element in our meetings together. Now, when we gather together, when we assemble as God's people, we assemble around the Word of Christ. And that Word is spoken. We give attention to the spoken Word, but that Word is also to be sung as we speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so today, I kind of want to pick a theme in the speaking part of our service today and pick a theme that came from the singing part of our service, and want to briefly highlight it. We've kind of just been reminded in this program that we are to adore the Son of God. Yes. And we are to adore the one who, the song says, stepped down from heaven and humbly came. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ did not come into being at Bethlehem. We have to remember that Christ did not come into being at Bethlehem, but he came to Bethlehem. And that is a real big difference, that he came, he stepped down from heaven, and he humbly came. There was some recent polling that was just in the latest edition of The Messenger that says that, but 41% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ existed before Bethlehem. Kind of interesting, you know, only 41%. It's kind of interesting because 100% of demons believe that, but only 41% of Americans. The demons believe and tremble, but not us Americans. And then that poll reminds us that, you know, we have a lot of work to do as believers to tell the good news of the message about Emmanuel, about God being with us, of this one who stepped down from heaven and humbly came to us, that the Son of God has eternally existed as God, but as the Son, he chose to descend, to step down, and so to be born and to become like us, that he might save us and to redeem us. As we have been reminded, we are to adore the one that stepped down from heaven and humbly came. I want to just read one verse today for our scripture reading. It coincides, providentially so, with what Elverta reminded us in her poem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, let me just read this. It says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we ought to know something about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is expressed in this way. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Let's pray. Briefly, our Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word, these wonderful words of life that tell us of your Son, the living word, the light of the world that came to our dark world so that we might have life and we might have light. Bless us through the remainder of this hour. In his name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to just kind of talk to us a little briefly, and hopefully it'll be briefly, about the humility and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's important for us to remember both of these. It's been reminded to us not only in Ellie's poem, but in the songs that were sung, that our Lord Jesus Christ, he came in humility, and he did come in true humanity. So first of all, let me just think about the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that the distance between God and man is something that cannot be measured? That distance is enormous and it is infinite. There is no way that we could put a category and define how far a distance it is between God and man. Now, there's an amazing psalm in Psalm 113, verses 5 and 6, and it says this: Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high? Our God is high and exalted. He is high and lifted up. And it says that this God, our God, he humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. That our God is so high and exalted and lifted up. He lives in such a majestic and an exalted sphere, if you will, that he has to humble himself to even behold the heavens. That God has to stoop down, if you will, just to kind of take a peek and to look at the vastness of our universe. That he has to humble himself and come low just to peek at the small thing that is our universe. It is all so very, very small to the infinite God. The sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the vastness of our universe that we just get just a very small peek of through the Hubble telescope. It is just a tiny rubble to God. That the whole universe, he has to humble himself just to gaze upon it because it is so minuscule compared to who he is. It is all so small to the infinite God. He humbles himself to behold the things in heaven. And the verse also says that he humbles himself just to look at the earth. You know, in other parts of the scripture it says heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. It's just a little step stool under his feet, just something so small and insignificant as it were, that he has to humble himself just to behold the earth. But think about it. How much more would he humble himself not just to look upon the earth, but to enter into the earth? Well, the scripture says in Psalm 144 and verse 3, you know, what is man that God is mindful of him? What is man that God would take knowledge of him, or the Son of Man that he would even think about him? Because he is so small and everything down here is so small and insignificant because God is so big. You know, the singer sang earlier, away in a manger. Away. Kind of brings the thought of something in a distance. something far, far away. And I'll have to say, it is a way to be sure. It is far, far away, because the distance between the infinite God and finite man and our existence, it is so far, far away that Christ humbled himself as he descended here to meet with us. You know that the descent of the Son of God to become a man, to become a child, to become a human being is an act of utmost humility. We are to remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor. The rich became poor. He humbled himself so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. It's kind of an interesting analogy there of the rich becoming poor, the high and exalted becoming the low and humbling himself. You know, I've known of a few people in my time on earth that at one point in their life, they had an awful lot. God had blessed them with an abundance, and then because of circumstances and providences, they lost some of it. It was involuntarily so, but at one point they didn't have quite as much as they used to before. And you know, that would be a very difficult transition for someone, would it not? For someone to enjoy an amount of wealth and all of the amenities that go on and go along with that, and then all of a sudden for it to be snatched away, and then not to enjoy all the comforts of fortune that they formerly enjoyed. It would be a difficult transition, to be sure. But you know that the Lord Jesus Christ willingly left the splendor of heaven to enter into the squalor of earth. He humbled himself as he descended low and came down. He humbly came. A tremendous passage in Philippians chapter 2 that speaks of this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and following, that Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death. You see, we are to be reminded on this day that the great God is a God of humility. That he humbled himself to be made like us. And part of Christ's humility was him taking upon the very nature of humanity, that the Son of God was made in the likeness of men, in the likeness of humanity. You know, in the beginning we read that God made man in his own likeness, that we're made in the likeness of God. But here the wonder upon wonders is now that we see that God makes himself in our likeness. That the great and exalted God descends and comes low and humbles himself and takes upon our humanity. I mean, this is just, it is mind-boggling, and there is no way that we can comprehend the humility that the Son of God took upon himself to descend into our existence. We read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 5, therefore, when he comes into the world, when Christ comes into the world, Christ says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you prepared for me. You know, when the Son descended, the Father prepared for him a body. The Holy Spirit prepared a body within the womb of Mary, whom he created. And a body was prepared for the eternal God. What humility that the God who is spirit would take on a body, that the infinite God who fills heaven and earth, and to whom he has to humble himself just to look at the heavens, that yet he who fills heaven and earth would be filled in finite flesh and be like us. That the Word of God would become flesh and a man. That the invisible God, who we cannot see, who no man has seen or can see, that this invisible God veiled himself in human flesh. God with skin on. Can you imagine the humility for the eternal God to be made like a man? God whom the scripture says, God who is light of very light. He is light, and yet he takes upon flesh and he tangibly walks around in a world of darkness. Incarnate light. Light becoming flesh. Or as they sang to us earlier, love incarnate. Incarnate love dwelling in a world of hate. What a transition. What a descent for the eternal God who is love, existing eternally in the perfect fellowship of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the love that goes on in that unity, for him to descend into the world of hate and anger and rejection. I tell you, we must remember the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is greater than our God. He fills heaven and earth, and he has to humble himself even to behold it. No one is greater than him, but no one is more humble than our God. No one has ever stooped lower than the great God who became a servant to us. And so let's remember the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we always need to be prepared to defend the deity of Christ. It's something that is not believed in our world very much. But the same need is for us to declare as well as defend the humanity of the Lord Jesus. That the Lord Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. He is the eternal God who created everything, but the Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation, in the wondrous of the gospel, that this great mystery where God becomes flesh and he becomes fully man. And I think that we need to be reminded that Jesus is human in every way. That when God humbled himself, when God stooped down, not just to behold the things on the earth, but humbled himself even to enter into the earth, that he became like us. He is in fact Emmanuel, God with us, God like us, and he was born to be one of us and just like us. And we need to be reminded of this, because sometimes I think we want to hedge on our Lord's humanity. You know, sometimes, you know, we wanted to defend his deity and we want to focus on that, and that is to be sure, but we don't want to hedge on his humanity. The Lord Jesus, when God humbled himself and became man, he was fully human. And sometimes I do think we maybe give on this a little bit. In fact, the carol that we sing, in fact, it was sung earlier, Away in a Manger. Away in a manger, no crib for the bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, and the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing. The baby awakes. But the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Have you ever wondered about that phrase? I always wondered. You know, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Now, it is true that when God became flesh and dwelt among us, and when he was born, without a doubt, he was the impeccable, perfect child. But do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ was a human child. Human in every way that we are. And one thing that I do know about human children is human children cry. It's part of being a child. It is part of being a human. I don't know if there's ever been such a thing as a human child that did not come into this world and cry. You know, we come into this world. We are born into an existence that is full of tears. Every birth reminds us of those tears. We live in a sin-stained world, in a world that is full of sorrow, and this is a place of tears. No one who comes here or lives here is without tears. Now, the Bible does not record whether the Lord Jesus Christ cried as an infant. I cannot define whether it says he did or not. But do you know it does record that he cried as an adult? It says that Jesus wept. We know that he cried the tears. And if he cried as an adult, I can only imagine that he cried as a child. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who humbled himself to enter into our earth, came as fully human. And he experienced every part of humanity. And I would say even the tears of a child. I would say that even as a child, the crying he made. Because when he humbled himself, Jesus took on a full humanity. He experienced every aspect of our existence except for sin. And he bore the consequences of our sin and the effects of our sin that we all swim in this sin-stained world. Everything that affects us affected him. He entered into our existence and he felt the curse that we feel. And he bore those consequences. Do you know that as a human, as a fully human, Jesus felt hunger? He knew what it was like as a child would cry and want some mama's milk. The God experienced that. He felt hunger. He felt thirst. He knows those feelings of humanity. He knows what it is like to feel temptation. Tempted in all ways that we are, yet without sin. In fact, the feelings of temptation upon him are greater than we have ever felt because he never gave in to those temptations. He understands what humanity feels when we are being tempted by the devil. He understands the frustrations that we all experienced in life. I mean, you read of his interactions with his friends and his disciples, and oftentimes he's shaking his head. He's like, what is wrong with you guys? And the frustration that he experienced just in life, he knows that because he lived here as one of us, experiencing every part of life that we do. Our Lord Jesus often went aside to lonely places. You know, he was a man of loneliness and sorrow. Does not our Lord, the God of the universe who humbled himself, did not he experience heartache as a human? Does he not understand pain and suffering as we all come into this world crying? So our Lord probably did the same, and he shed the same kind of tears because he's fully human. He knows us. He understands us. He experienced it all to the fullest extent as any human being could, because the Son of God entered into our existence and He experienced life as a human, humbling Himself and descending. He came, and humbly He came to live like us. He humbled Himself to become like one of us. He experienced all of humanity in the very extreme. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the perfect human, and He endured it all. But do you know that that means that He perfectly understands it all? That is why we can go to Him. And if you might think no one else understands, and you might be right, maybe no one understands what you're going through, but I can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ understands. Because the great God humbled Himself and became like us to experience all the vagaries of humanity. Now, as we get ready to close here today, I don't know what you might be struggling with today. I mean, we all have our issues, and we may not understand the trials that we all go through. And you know, this is a holiday season that can be difficult for many people. Maybe you are struggling with the loss of a loved one. And, well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ understands that. He knows what it's like to shed tears by a tomb. Even his stepfather was probably had died before he went to the cross, because his mother was a widow. Maybe you're going struggling with broken relationships. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ, his stepbrothers didn't believe in Him, and they were giving Him a hard time. They thought He was crazy. He understands that. And you know, He understands better than anyone what it's like to be betrayed by a friend. He knows that. Are you struggling with loneliness and depression on this day? I tell you, you can go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is fully human. He knows it perfectly. Whatever you might have experienced in life or experiencing this day, the Lord Jesus Christ is there to be a sympathetic ear and the only Savior for sinners. I tell you, human beings, we will fail each other and we will all disappoint each other because we are failing human beings. But there is one human that is perfect. One human that perfectly understands every aspect of human existence. And that is Emmanuel, God with us, who understands us. And you know what? He chose to humble Himself, to descend and to come into our existence. He made a choice to leave the riches of heaven above, the splendors of heaven, to come to the squalors of earth. And you know, as we get ready to close, there is a choice for us. June, I think, saying about it. Do you choose Jesus, June? You know, that's a question for us. Do we choose Jesus? He chose to come here. Do we choose Him? Well, as we get ready to sing a concluding hymn of invitation, I believe, what are we singing, June? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Might you turn those eyes on Him and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, let's stand for a concluding hymn of invitation.
in the love, its glory and
glory. Well, you're invited to come back tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to continue on our trek through the Baptists of Faith and Message, look at some Baptist distinctives tonight as we kind of introduce the great subjects of baptism and the Lord's Supper. So we'll come back for a time of fellowship with each other and around His Word. I do hope and pray that you will have a blessed and restful afternoon, and we'll be dismissed with a word of a prayer and benediction. Our Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us, for loving us, for calling us to yourself, for sending your only begotten Son into this world and giving us that great promise that whosoever believes in Him, that we would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, might we know of the love of your Son and the fellowship of your Spirit. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. And you are dismissed.